How's it going, folks? It's JJ and K Fitz. Let's talk some hockey. You're listening to the Lone Star Barnburner on PS3.
How we doing?
You know what? I went to sleep the last game and they won.
I didn't watch the game at all. I'm going to tell you something. And I know this is going to sound strange, but I have found that in games when I really want my team to win, I don't watch them, they win. When I watch them, they lose. I'm telling you. So, and I proved it to, my wife this last, during the playoffs, because, for the NFL, the Texans played the Cleveland Browns, and unfortunately I didn't get to watch that game because it was on a Saturday and I had to work. So I was at work. And I told my wife, I said, watch, they're going to win, and they're probably going to win in dominating fashion. And then the next game, I was actually off and was able to watch them, and we got destroyed. Not really destroyed, but we lost to the Ravens. So, I'm telling you, I've learned to where, hey, if I want my team to win, I kind of don't watch them and just hope for the best. I did keep track of the score, though. I won't lie. I did keep track of the score.
Shoot. Well, you know what? I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. And I did go to sleep and they won. So yeah, I'm right there with you. Like I didn't even, if I'm gonna go to sleep, that's it.
Yeah, well, when I went to bed, it was tied up 2-2. And I said, well, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what we see when we wake up in the morning. And lo and behold, they won. And not only did they win, they won in overtime, which was the shocker.
And let's not forget the guy that put the team on his back, Mr. What? Wyatt Johnston.
Oh, young man, Wyatt Johnston. I'm telling you, he is definitely going to be a force that this league is going to have to reckon with. I mean, and then you add Stankoven on the line with him. And, I said it last year that I felt like, Johnston was going to have a breakout year this year. I remember we were having that discussion, and you were like, do you think he's going to get hit with the sophomore curse? And I told you then, I said, I don't think so. This young man, he's a player, and I didn't think we were going to have to worry too much about any kind of sophomore curse. And by God, not only has he been dominating, but he's been pretty much leading the team.
Isn't that funny? I just realized this, that we had this young guy by the name of, what's his name? Jason Robertson.
Yeah.
That had this crazy first year. And then we're like, ooh, hey, sophomore slump, maybe? Nope. The sophomore slump, at least on this team, doesn't seem to exist. And I don't want to change it. What do you think?
Well, I think that teams where they have players that will allow it to get into another player's head, I think that's where the sophomore slump kind of gets them, because, you got to look at Wyatt Johnston. And first of all, who was he staying with?
Pavelski.
There you go. And who was he on the line with his first season?
Pavelski.
And?
Robo.
No, and Ben.
Ben. Oh, my bad.
So he's got two really good mentors there to not only teach him and for him to learn, you know, the team mechanics and how to play on this team and be successful on this team, but also to keep him humble. Because I can guarantee you at any time Wyatt, young Mr. Johnston ever started kind of getting a little cockier or out, I guarantee those two are definitely the two that would put him in his place.
I mean, if you're on a line with the captain, do you have any room to be arrogant? I would say no.
No. And you know what? Honest and truly, I attribute Wyatt Johnston's success. Of course, a lot of it is talent. He is a very talented young man. But in all honesty, had DeBoer put him on any other line, I don't know that he'd be as successful as he is right now in his first season. If he wasn't, you know, living with Pavelski and on the same line with Jamie Benn and playing with Pavelski and, you know, getting this experience and getting this knowledge, I don't think that not saying he wouldn't be doing good, I just don't think he would be doing as good as he is right now.
So you're saying that DeBoer found the right mix of players for the young guy?
I think if you look at what DeBoer has done just in these 2 years, these few years that he's been with Dallas, he's very smart at putting players with players. Kind of like, I mean, I hate to say it, you know, he could have put Stankoven with anybody, but he but he knew that Johnston and Stankoven kind of have a history.
Yep.
He knows that these two can probably play really well together. He knows what he's got in both players. So instead of him just putting Stankoven on another line, say with a Robo and Hintz, and don't get me wrong, I think that would be a terribly frightening line if you had Robo, Hintz, and Stankoven on a line. But that's something that you can do later on because, you know, Stankoven is a rookie. I mean, even though this is not really going to count as his rookie season, he's going to still have next season to be his rookie season, which puts him in line, which he may wind up getting, you know, what Johnston didn't get, which should have gotten. But, you know, I think that by DeBoer putting him with Wyatt Johnston and learning from Wyatt Johnston and being on the same line as Jamie Benn, you not only have that, you know, it's almost kind of like, I don't want to do a wrestling thing, but I'm going to. So if you recall, many moons ago, when Triple H, Paul Levesque, for those that don't know who Triple H is, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, put together a group with Ric Flair, Dave Bautista, and Randy Orton, and they were called, what was it? Not Legacy, because Legacy
Evolution.
Evolution. There you go. Evolution. So, when you look at the line with Ben, Johnston, and Stankoven, it's almost like Evolution. You've got Johnston, who's like the Bautista right now. You know, he's got a little more experience. You know, he's not as young rookie Stankoven. Stankoven's like the Randy Orton. You've got Ben, who's kind of like the combination of the Triple H and the Ric Flair, because he's got all that knowledge. Plus, he's still young enough to play with these young men. And it's just, it is that evolution. And I would deem this line as line evolution.
That's wild. Here's another thing for you, too, to plug in. Maverick Bork has also been called up.
Yes, I was excited when I saw that. I think you sent me the article when he had gotten called up. I was like, oh my God. So now not only do we have Johnston, we've got Stankoven, but we've also got Maverick up there. Oh my Lord. I'm telling you, the future of this team is bright. You know, I would love for them to go to the Cup this season, and I would love for it to turn out how it turns out. But, you know, and if it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. When I'm looking towards the future, and I've pretty much kind of taken the solace to understand where we really stand. Now, if we win tonight and we tie it up, yeah, I mean, we've got a good shot at winning this. We lose tonight and it's almost kind of a done deal. I mean, it's really hard to come back against these Golden Knights. It's really hard to come back from a 3-1 deficit. So if they can tie it up 2-2, then okay, we'll talk more about cup and things of that nature. I would love for them to win. I just, Vegas just has our number for some reason. And I'm gonna do it again tonight. I'm not gonna watch the game. I'm gonna just keep monitoring the score. I'm not gonna watch the game and hope for the best. But honest and truly, when you're talking about bringing up Maverick, you got Stankov and you've got, you know, and Ben, he's still got a few more good years. You've got Pavelski, who's got a few more good years in him. I mean, you know, Captain America, he just doesn't seem to slow down, does he?
No, and I hope the rumors that I've seen are not true. I hope this isn't his last hurrah, because
I hope not. I would hope that he would stick around just for at least one more season.
I mean, I'm kind of like the fan in the stands that was cheering on the Undertaker as we didn't know he was going to retire. You still got it, you know.
Like, well, he's still, hey, look, the hunger of the game is still there. So, you know what, honest and truly, I think it's too early for him to even discuss that. It's easy to start discussing things of that during the season and as you're winding the season down to say, yeah, this might be my last hurrah. But honest and truly, sometimes that hunger is just there and it's hard to let go. And especially when you're playing at the level that he is. I mean, look at the NFL. Look at Brett Favre. I mean, how many times did that man retire?
More times than I got finger and toes, it feels like.
Yeah, I know he's in some hot water right now, but what I'm trying to bring up is the fact of, you know, these athletes, sometimes it's hard for them to let go. It's easy for them to sit there and say during the season, even Tom Brady. Tom Brady retired and then came back. You know, yeah. I mean, it's hard to, and if you've never played a sport or you've never been involved in a sport, it's hard to explain it. It's not like retiring from a job where, you know, you can retire from a job or from a career and go on to doing something else. When you're an athlete and you're playing, first of all, just the roar of their crowd is intoxicating. The camaraderie of the team is intoxicating. It's almost to a point to where it's addicting sometimes. And there's some guys that just can't let that stuff go. And so I'm not gonna write anything until I see ink to paper that yes, I'm done. This was my last season. I'm not playing anymore. And we don't see him in the facility anymore other than like an analysis or something like analyst or something like that. I'm not going to call it that he's done.
I think he still wants a cup. I think that's what's keeping him around.
I think so too, and like I said, I think that if he doesn't get it, if they don't get it this season, I think he sticks around for at least one more. And why wouldn't you? I mean, my God, as a veteran, seeing these young guys coming up, I would at least want to stick around just to see these young guys on the ice a little bit more.
And you're the freaking glue that holds them together.
Yes, he is. There was a stint there where he was what was keeping this team going, if you recall, during this season.
I mean,
he was pretty much scoring in almost every game, either an assist or an actual goal.
Yeah, and we're like, oh, well, if you see Joe on the score sheet, you know something's going to happen. We were right most times.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, honest and truly, going into tonight's game, I have a feeling he's due for something.
Can we address that, too? Because I've seen some things on social media that let's say, oh, Hintz hasn't been playing to this. Robo hasn't been playing to that. If the secret's out on a player, speaking as, you know, an athlete, I want your opinion on this, since you were an athlete. If you're good at what you do, aren't you going to get a little bit more attention and probably held off the scoreboard?
Oh, you're definitely going to get more attention. So what makes it difficult as a, when you are an athlete, when nobody knows the actual skill set that you actually have, where it's just on paper and okay, yeah, this player is good. Okay, yeah. We'll focus on him, but we're not going to lay most of the focus on him. And other players aren't going to take you near as serious as they are if you're going to have 2 seasons like Robo had back to back, 40 plus goal seasons. You're going to garner more attention. And then when you've got Roope Hintz, who has had monster seasons right along with Robo, that entire line is going to get pretty much the best of any team that you're going to face. They're not going to throw, it's almost kind of like in football. You're not going to put your second string out there against the starters on a championship team. You're going to
Right.
put your best players out there because you want them to, take advantage. And it's almost kind of like, I don't know how many times a player or a running back or something. I mean, of course, there's those oddities like the in NFL, like the Emmitt Smiths and the Adrian Petersons and running backs like that, where they're just beasts and they're gonna dominate no matter what. But you get some of these running backs that'll have a breakout season, a 1,000-yard season, and then all of a sudden the next 2 seasons they barely get to 900 yards. And the reason that is because the season before, well, they didn't really understand or know. Now they kind of understand and know, so now they're going to change up their defenses and how they're going to play against this running back. So it makes it a lot harder for him, and other factors come into play as well. There's fatigue, there's all kinds of different exterior factors that can affect a player's game. And sometimes it can get in your head. If you're so used to dominating, and then you go 3 or 4 or 5 games and you're not dominating the way you have been, it can definitely get in your head and it can affect you mentally.
I can see that.
And
So, go ahead.
if I can throw something else in here, and I've noticed this a lot this last season. And I don't want to throw it at the referees and blah blah blah, but I can tell you, not in this last game, because like I said, I didn't really watch this last game, but in the previous game, the Stars had a couple penalties go against them that were, even the announcers were like, what were they looking at? They had one where they called it delay of game because the puck went out, and it was not even, I mean, they showed it 4 or 5 times. They're like, yeah, this is not delay game. Oh, they're having a conference. Okay, this probably isn't going to get called. And the next thing you know, nope, delay a game, 2 minutes, against, Dallas. And it's like, what in the world are you talking about? And these are not like our announcers. These aren't like we're watching it on, Stars Network or on the Bailey's app or something like that. This is, what, TNT. These are announcers that are constantly downing the Stars and talking up the Golden Knights. So for them to sit there and say, yeah, that shouldn't be a penalty, that kind of tells you something that, hold on, if they're saying this, and how is that a penalty going against them? So the same with Robo the other night, in game one. He had a great break, I believe it was game one. Had a great opportunity at a breakout, even though it wasn't a penalty, it was called offsides. Well, you've just taken whatever momentum they can possibly have and taken it away. And yes, referees can change game momentum. Now, I don't like the adage of that referees can win or lose a game, but they can change momentum. And momentum is key, especially in the game of hockey.
Oh, I agree. And yeah, I think they can win or lose a game for a team. Because what if one of those, dare I say, soft penalties, I think is how they were called. What if one of those happens in like the last minute or so and somebody's down a player for the rest of the game for 2 minutes on a weak little tap, you know? they can certainly change the impact or the trajectory of a game right at the end. And, you know, it's hard to side with either one as well, because you can't be the ones that have the referees looking at you. But, you know, going back to a couple seasons ago with Edmonton and Calgary, because people wanted the Battle of Alberta, Calgary, I think the referee that was a native Calgarian, I think he might have screwed the Stars a time or two during that series.
Exactly. You know, and look, we're all humans. So are these referees. And yes, you do want to be unbiased, but there's always going to be some sort of bias in the back of your head. I mean, it's just a natural thing. You know, it's kind of like I said, I'm sure we as Stars fans saw calls that were missed. I'm sure Golden Knights fans are sitting there saying, oh, well, we saw calls that were missed. It goes hand in hand. However, the problem being is when they're blatant, which is what it seems like they've been. The other night, nobody was offsides. They call Robo offsides. I mean, it wasn't even close. And like I said, these are games that are on networks that are not pro Stars. So these announcers are nowhere near pro Stars. In fact, if you listen to them during the game, I mean, it's the Golden Knights this, Golden Knights this, oh, da, 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 da. And very rare do they really compliment the Stars or Coach DeBoer or anything of that nature. But yet, when even they're sitting there saying, yeah, that was kind of a ticky-tacky call. I mean, that is not, you know, he wasn't offsides, or that wasn't a delay of game. You know, those are calls that are in crucial moments of games. And I hate to say it, but that offsides, honest and truly, I think really deflated that game. You could see it in Robo's face. As soon as they called him offsides, and he knew he wasn't offsides, it deflated him. It was like, kind of like, Jesus, what do we got to do here? You know, we're trying to play a game. And look, I want the game to be called fairly. But, you know, if it's ticky-tacky or if it's questionable like that, let them play. You know, let them play. Let them go. You want to talk about letting things go. Go back and watch some old NBA Finals games back in the days. Watch some of them Chicago Bears Finals games. They were getting at each other. I mean, Michael Jordan was not someone that you wanted to go head-to-head with in the paint. And neither was Scottie Pippen back in the day or some of them players. Or even if you look at when the Rockets were playing, you know, you had Robert Horry, who was, you know, not someone you wanted to make upset. And, you know, they would let them get at it. I mean, you know, blood, sweat, and tears was no lie. And the referees would, you know, yeah, maybe during the regular season they might call some of those penalties. But during the playoffs, you know, sometimes you just got to let them play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let the best one win. I'm not saying make it, you know, don't call blatant. I mean, if it's something blatantly, you know, yeah, call that. But if it's something a little ticky-tacky, and I'm not just talking about against the Stars. I'm talking about against the Knights, against any team, you know. Let them play in the playoffs. You know, let's not worry about the small stuff. Let's worry about the egregious bad stuff. But let's not worry about the small stuff. I mean, come on now. If Jamie Benn goes and sits on somebody again, yeah, call that. but you know, calling Robo offsides the other night when he wasn't, that's, you know, that's ticky-tacky. That's momentum changing. That's, you know, we can't let them have this momentum, so we're going to figure out a way to stop it.
Which is completely bogus, because, you know, that, like you said, that would get in somebody's head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm telling you as an athlete right now, there's nothing more upsetting than getting a penalty when you know you didn't do anything. You watch the sidelines on any NFL game. Yes, okay. Whenever a defensive back gets called for pass interference and they know they actually interfered, you see very little protest. They may, you know, throw their hands in the air or something, but it's not going to be protest very bad. if it's egregious and they know they didn't commit pass interference, or they know they were possibly interfered, but they got the flag against them, I mean, they are in everybody's face. They are upset. They're having to be pulled back by coaching staff. Because, yes, that's the one. Those are the ones that really get in your head. When you know that you've created a penalty and you know it was against you, those are the ones that don't really bother you as much. You know, if you're an offensive lineman and you get caught holding and you know you held, yeah, okay, we all hold, it happens. But if you didn't hold anybody and you did nothing, you get called for holding, I'm telling you, it deflates you, it upsets you, it frustrates you because you're like, I did nothing wrong, and you're going to sit there and call me out for this and cost my team for something that I didn't do. And that's the way a lot of guys see it, is you're costing my team. You're making me cost my team for something that I didn't do. So, yes, those are the kind of things that can play and get in your head and can, honest and truly, just change the whole way you play your game.
I'm going to take it a step further. That can also change the way fans perceive you. Look, Jamie Benn is one that they consider a bad guy now. He's dirty. I was trying not to say the B word, but I've seen that thrown at him, calling him Jamie B word Ben, because of that one time where he just couldn't handle it anymore and sat on the guy.
Yeah, but everybody, but you know, and everybody's kind of putting him in the same light as Dumba was, and I was upset at that call, as you know. In fact, I brought it up many a times after that, and I wasn't upset so much that he got frustrated that it happened. I was more upset of when it happened and that it was our captain. Had that been any other player, I don't think I would have been as upset. But, you know, when you're a captain, you kind of got to hold your cool a little bit better than that. And I understand he got frustrated, and I have forgiven him for it. But I wouldn't call Ben a dirty player. He's playing, and he's frustrated. And I think, you know, if you go back to that series, you'll see that, you know, there were a lot of calls that went against the Stars that probably shouldn't have. And I don't know what it is about the Golden Knights, but it just seems like they get away with so much when, you know, the Stars are getting called for ticky-tacky stuff. And, you know, yeah, like I said, like we were talking, it gets in your head. So I wouldn't call Jamie Benn a dirty player. I would just say that series got in his head.
And, you know, it's the things like the bad officiating and missed calls here and there that guide fans to believe. I've seen people say the playoffs are rigged. I've seen people say that the Vegas Golden Knights are positioned to win. And, you know, as long as the bad officiating is there, as long as there is some sort of bias, that team is going to be the next Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. But it's kind of on the same hand, though, you've got teams like, you know, Boston last season that everybody was on their bandwagon for, and they lost in the first round. You know, so you've always got those pros and cons for, you know, they're rigged. I personally don't think they're rigged. I've played sports before. Yes, you can change certain aspects of things, but you can't go throwing goals. I mean, now, if it was a game where they were constantly saying goals were no good and then allowing the other team to have goals and stuff like that, where it was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? That's one thing. But penalties alone, yeah, they can change certain aspects of the game, but you know you've got to kill those penalties. You as a team still have to play the game, and it still comes down to whoever scores the most wins. So referees can't really control too much in the score, and hockey's really one of those ones. It's difficult for anybody to change any kind of scoring without calling egregious things like goaltender interference when there wasn't any, or something of that nature during a goal that would put another team ahead or tie a game up, if you understand what I'm saying.
I'm going to counter that. Not last game. What was that, game 3 last game? Yes. But the game before, game two.
Game two,
Second period, Tyler Seguin trying to set something up in the Vegas Golden Knights zone. The man gets taken down belly form style. Like, the dude ended up on his stomach. And they were trying to set up in the Vegas zone. Nothing called. They got up and resumed play.
Yeah. Well,
if... Go ahead.
Well, you know, we can if, ands, or buts about something like that. But that's what I'm saying by a missed call. Yeah, let's say they would have called it and we went on the power play. Were we doing much on the power play at that point?
No.
Okay. So, once again, does that really change the outcome of the game itself? They missed a call.
Yeah.
It's not going to change the game itself. It's not going to change the Golden Knights outplayed the Dallas Stars in that game, because they did.
That's actually the point I was trying to make, believe right. it or not.
I'm going with you on that point.
Keep going. I want to hear what you got.
Well, you know, so for those fans that are out there that are saying, oh, my God, see, they missed that call, and that's why we lost the game. No, sir. No, sir, because let's just look statistically. Okay, let's say they made that call. Let's say we went on power play. Are we going to score? Is it just because we go on power play does not mean automatically we're going to get a goal. In fact, statistically, it doesn't mean really anything. Because our power play, while it's okay, it's nothing to write home about. You know, it's not something that we dominate on, and it's what wins us games. I can't think of too many games this last season alone that where we won because we were on power play. Heck, even in the last 2 minutes of the dang game, more than that, we were last 4 minutes of that game, we couldn't even score 6-on-5. So are you trying to tell me that because they missed one call and didn't put us on power play, all of a sudden we were going to win because of that? No. Absolutely not.
You win by attacking the net attacking the puck.
You win by being aggressive through the entire game. You know, and what did I tell you? I told you that the reason they've been losing is because they've been starting off slow. The game that they finally won, game three, they started off quick. In fact, they scored pretty dang quick. We were up. That is another thing that will get into another team's head. If you're dominating a team and then all of a sudden they punch you in the mouth, you know, everybody, here's the old adage. Everybody has a plan until they're actually hitting the mouth. You know, everybody has a plan until something happens. Vegas had a plan. They were dominating. They knew they were going to come in. They knew they had our number. They knew they were going to beat us. And we come out there and we take them down 2-0. And yes, they did wind up mounting a comeback, but it was a late comeback. It wasn't something, and it was a gradual comeback. It wasn't like we scored 2 and then all of a sudden they're back 2 and that's 0-0. That doesn't change momentum. That doesn't get in somebody's head. But if you get a 2-goal lead and you take that 2-goal lead into the second period and then you go into the third period and you're up 2-1 and then you go and they get another goal and, yeah, you're tied in the third period, okay, then you kind of start thinking, oh, my God, now we're going to go into overtime. Then they take you to overtime and young Wyatt Johnson does what he does. Those are the kind of things that can actually affect teams mentally. And that can give the momentum back over to the Stars. The Stars should come out tonight firing on all cylinders. You know what? Pete DeBoer needs to get in these guys' head that, look, tonight is all or nothing. You win tonight, we move on. You lose tonight, we're done. I mean, I hate to put it that way. And I know as a coach, you want to sit there and say, hey, we're going to fight to the bitter end and we're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. But honest and truly, Coach DeBoer needs to, you know, get into these guys' heads and fire them up and let them know, hey, look, you know, you guys need to play like it's like there is no tomorrow. You know, like Apollo Creed said to Rocky, there is no tomorrow. I pull a lot of adages out because, you know, growing up in a lot of the sports that I had coaches that would always pull from other movies or coaches to kind of inspire. And yeah, I mean, honest and truly, if I were Coach DeBoer, I would put that on before they went and hit the ice. I would play that line from Apollo Creed when Rocky's like, oh, we'll do it tomorrow. There is no tomorrow, because you know what? If they lose, practically there really is no tomorrow, because they've proven that, okay, even if we go back to Dallas, we didn't do too good at home. So, you know.
They didn't even come to play at home. Sorry to cut you off.
No. You're right. You're right. And like I said, so you can't play like, hey, we're the number one team, because right now you're not.
They just ain't even scared of them, number one team. Yeah, okay.
No. You know, I mean, it's certainly not like we're the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers are the first team to move on in the playoffs. You know, they swept the, you know, who'd they play?
Good on New York, by the way.
Yeah. They're a true number one team, not like Boston last season. Boston's just glad they're not playing Florida again, because Florida's winning again this season.
Didn't they have Tampa against the wall, don't they?
Yes, they do. And Colorado has Winnipeg against the wall.
Oh, whoa, hang on. Those three are teams that are, three. Dallas, Winnipeg, Colorado, those three is what I was trying to say. We're all fighting for the top spot.
Oh, yeah. Central.
They were neck, neck, and neck. And Colorado has, oh boy. And we go ahead.
At one point in the season, Dallas was down to, I think we were in fourth place at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to crawl and fight to come back, and we wound up coming back. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you look at Colorado, Winnipeg, and Dallas. Man, that's scrappy teams, and you got Colorado that's got Winnipeg down 3-1 right now.
Holy moly. Winnipeg's good, too.
Winnipeg's really good. Winnipeg was one of the more dominant teams this last season.
Yeah, they kicked us around pretty good, too.
They sure did.
Once or twice. Ooh. Yeah, Dallas needs to find its... Okay, so when I did the last little bit of the last show on my own, I talked about getting backed up against the wall with my own personal challenges and how the only way that I beat them was getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe that's what the Stars are going to have to do. Because, like, you know me, you know my struggles in life, and you know that if I can't beat something real quick, I get ticked off. Like, it's automatic. Like,
Well, I mean, it's human nature.
That's what they're missing, though.
How many times have you been playing a video game and something not go your way, and you get mad, you get frustrated, and then you can't focus on what you need to do, and the best thing you can do is just turn the game off, walk away, and come back and play later on, because right now you're just not, you know,
just not feeling it.
No, I mean, you know me, I'm a gamer, so, you know, I play a lot of games. I mean, there have been many a times where I'm in boss fights, and man, for whatever reason, it's just that day, I can't get nothing to work for me. You know, I'm trying every move I can do. I'm hitting every hit I can hit, and it's just not happening. I'm getting frustrated, and more frustrated I get, the worse I'm doing. You know, I might be able to last, you know, 3 or 4 minutes against this boss, and I'm almost about got him beat, and then bam, he beats me. And then the next time I play, he beats me within a minute. And then the next time it's within 30 seconds, it's like, oh my God, I'm getting worse. What the heck? So I turn the game off and come back a day later, or come back a couple hours later, and I beat it within, like, you know, 2 minutes. I'm like, what the heck? That wasn't as hard as I thought. But because you get in your head, you get frustrated, you get focusing on on going left when you should go right. You focus on healing when you should be focused on hitting or something of that nature. You know, you're not focusing on the big picture and what needs to be done to beat this boss. So, yeah, the same thing plays in sports. You know, when you're frustrated, when you've got referees getting in your head, when you've got fans out there getting in your head, when you've got all this outside noise, it's hard to turn that off. And when if you don't come out mad, like you just said, and upset and angry, and you just want to, you know, you want to prove to not only yourself, but you want to prove to them and everybody else that you deserve to be here. Yeah, that's what the Stars need to do. They need to prove to everybody they deserve to be where they're at.
And it's going to take patience but anger. How is that possible?
Ask Jamie Benn. No.
Oh!
You know, honest and truly, I think if I were the veterans on this team, I would go to the young guys and say, look, we need y'all. I know this sounds bad. I know you guys look to us for the leadership. And yeah, we are the leaders out there, but we can't do this without you guys. You know, go up to the Wyatt Johnson and say, look, you've kept us in this tournament right now. You've kept us in these playoffs, and we need you. Go up to the Robos and the Hinces and say, look, I understand you guys are in a slump, but we need you. Right now, we need you. This is where, you know, this is where the nut cutting happens. I mean, I hate to put it that way, but that's just, you know, it's time to, you know, put up or shut up. And, you know, yeah, let's prove to these guys that we deserve to be here. Let's prove to the league that we deserve to be here. Let's make the league, you know, once again, I'm going to throw it back to sports. So let's talk about University of Texas leaving the Big 12 and the Big 12 president saying to the rest of the Big 12, I want you guys to do one thing this football season and other sports. I want you guys to not let Texas leave here as champions. I want to present this trophy at the end of the season to one of you other teams. I don't want it to go to Texas. And what happened? Texas went out there, dominated the Big 12, won the Big 12, and forced them to hand that trophy over to them. Well, you know what? That's what the Stars need to do. You don't want us here? Well, guess what? We're here.
I'm going to piggyback off that because the trophy presenter was the guy that pulled me out of a depression when I had my last major surgery. And he said in a wrestling show, there is no shame in going out and fighting and getting your butt kicked, paraphrasing, but there is no honor in not fighting at all.
This is the truth.
He said that during a show where there was three different rival, we'll say brand. And that seemed to get everybody fired up. Obviously it's scripted, but that saying hit me in the heart as a human being. Like, if you want to fight out of a challenge, or if you want to come out victorious, I'm sorry, the only way to do it is to fight.
Yeah.
And you know, I swear to you, it pulled me out of my head, and I was just like, I was ready to go. Go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Well, it's just like going back to the Spartans. One of the famous things that Spartans used to say to each other, you know, to their loved ones or whatever, you know, come back carrying your shield or on it, because that was their whole thought process. And they believed that the only way to die honorably was to die in battle. They would much rather have died in battle than die laying in their bed. Because that's just their mentality. They were going to fight, and they were going to fight you to the bitter end.
I wish the Stars would find that little bit of darkness in them to get there. Because even though they won that one game, I still feel like Vegas is going to come out tonight and just take it to them.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Like I said, I'm not going to watch it, so my part's going to be played.
Same here. I'm going to find a reason to go to sleep, I guess.
I'm gonna keep an eye on the score, but that's about it. I'm not going to watch the game. And I'm going to let the cards fall where they may. I think they can find it in them. I really do. I think they started to find it in this last game. I think they saw in this last game, you know, I think in game two, they were kind of down on themselves. It just seemed like their body language and things of that nature just, you know, yeah, maybe we can't keep up with these guys. Maybe these guys are the better team. Maybe this. And you could kind of see it. And there it was a little defeated, especially after that call against Robo, where you know, they called him offsides and he wasn't, and it just, you could just see where that body language changed, and especially in him. So I think this last game showed them, hey, wait a minute, these guys aren't as unbeatable as we think they are. Maybe we do got a shot against them. Let's put this thing together. Let's put this thing to bed. Let's get this figured out.
I think I know the three keys to beating Vegas too, after hearing all this.
What's that?
One, you got to play with anger. Fight with anger is what I was trying to say. Same thing, I guess. You got to take their own game to them. And three, elevate the puck. How did Wyatt Johnston beat Logan Thompson?
Yeah.
He snuck it in there, and it was hot.
Well, and yeah, and, you know, here's another thing. I've noticed a lot of the goals that we're missing that we should be getting, it's like we're trying to sneak it under his pads or trying to hit the five hole, and that's really difficult to get him. Like you said, you know, we got to elevate the puck a little bit more. And I think, you know, maybe Johnston's showing them, hey, this is what we need to do to get this done.
I would absolutely lose my mind for a guy like Wyatt Johnston or Delandria, you know, even Stankoven to come in and say, hey, if y'all aren't going to elevate the puck, we will.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, Vegas is very good at blocking shots.
Mm.
They love to drop down and block the shots. They've proven that. And once again, when Dallas has beaten Vegas, how did they do it? They went high.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is willing to hit the floor. I think you punch them in the mouth by going high in the net, taking their own game to them. Okay, I'm going to go off on a little tangent. You can help pull me off if you want to. But when I see the Stars trying to set up in the Vegas zone, I notice that Vegas does not sit back.
No, they're very aggressive.
They don't sit back and wait for a mistake. They take it to the Stars.
Yeah, very aggressive. Aggressively.
And the Stars, they just sit back. Like, okay, we're going to follow the puck here. We're going to follow the puck there. You've seen it how many times? They know how to beat the Stars because they take it to them. And, okay, so it, like you said the last show, you know, playing chess instead of checkers. You have to play chess with a team like Vegas because – wild card or not, they're the defending Stanley Cup champs, like you said.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only way you're going to beat Vegas, who is may or may not be a league favorite, I don't care about that nonsense. How you beat them is patience, a little bit of frustration, channeled in the right way, and taking your game to them. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't
What you just said right there, what you just said right there, taking your game to them, really makes me think of a point in, you know, while those of us that were big fans of the Olympic team in '80s when we beat Russia and everything like that, we never really got the insights like we did when they came out with the movie Miracle. And the one thing that I really keyed on, what you just said, was when Herb Brooks is there on the sideline and, you know, Team USA is up and they're against Russia and Russia is trying to hit them with everything they got. Brooks is sitting there screaming at his players and yelling at them, telling them, you know, play your game. Don't play their game. Play your game. Focus on your game. And that right there, like what you just said, that's what they need to do. They need to play their game. They need to hit these guys in the mouth. They need to do what they've got to do to get ahead in this game. And like you said, I think they need to elevate the puck a little more. They also need to go more angular. I think, you know, there are some open opportunities, especially over the pad side shoulder against the Golden Knights. I think that if they angled it just right, I think they could get it over that shoulder and get it into the net.
I'm not laughing at you, but I kid you not. Earlier this morning, I saw a post on social media that said the exact same thing. If you want to do the unthinkable and beat Logan Thompson, you go shoulder.
Yep.
Or you go blocker side of shoulder.
Side of shoulder, exactly. And that's, you know, that's what they need to focus on. That's where they're, instead of trying to focus on these low-end shots, these five-hole shots that might get you against, you know, other goaltenders, against this goaltender, no. You've got to go high. You've got to elevate that shot. And you've got to go angles. You've got to come up with some funky angles. And honest and truly, if I were Pete DeBoer, take the reins off of Stankoven. Let him just go out there and do his thing. Let him, because I'm telling you, he's really good at getting some of those angles. You watch some of the goals that he got through this season. A lot of them were elevated goals, and they were at some crazy angles. And the same with Wyatt Johnston. Let those two just go buck wild.
Wyatt is not afraid to hit you from a 20-degree angle. He don't care.
Good Lord. Do you remember that one last season? And we were all in awe. We're like, where did that even come from? Like, he did not give up on a play and fought and fought and fought and finally got it in. And he was sliding down, going down to his belly and got the goal. And we're like, where did that even come from? How did he do that? Even Coach DeBoer was like, they were asking him at the press conference, like, you know, were you shocked that he got a goal like that? He's like, you know, when it comes to Johnson, nothing really shocks me now, because after seeing that, it's just like he gets some of these goals that are just like normal people. There's no way they could do it.
Man, he's already proven that he can factor into beating Vegas.
Oh, yes.
And like you said, it was even that one. Do you remember the overtime goal?
Uh-huh.
That was from a weird angle, too. It was off the red line.
Right.
Like, what? And it was just over blocker, too, if I remember correctly.
I think Coach DeBoer just needs to, you know, say, look, guys, go for broke. Go for broke. Don't worry about, you know, puck control and all this other stuff. Let's just go for broke. If you feel like you've got an opening, go for it.
Let me ask you this, too. You just had a question pop into my head. Okay. Vegas takes their game to us. We're supposedly a finesse and speed team. Mm-hmm. Why can't we out-rush Vegas? Why? Like, to me, Wyatt doing that in overtime was a result of A, his desire to score from anywhere, being, it proved to me that he was pretty dang quick to be able to pull off that weird angle. Why aren't they trying to use their speed to their advantage? Or for that matter, are they? And we're just too slow?
I think Pete DeBoer, as a coach, tries to play things a little bit safe sometimes. And he doesn't seem like he coaches a lot of the breakaways. Because you really don't see a whole lot of them. And when we do breakaway, I hate to say it, but sometimes it seems like when we do get a breakaway, we're just kind of like, oh my God, we got a breakaway. Now what do we do? And we don't have the follow through on the breakaway.
No lie. It takes me back to, what was it, 2011, when they had UC Jokinen. And if that man wasn't out rushing people, he was scoring in the shootout like it was his job.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that showed his speed as well. Like, this team is a speed team. It's a finesse team. Dude, and Vegas had us down 2-0 in the series?
Yeah. You know, and I think Coach DeBoer needs to kind of that's why I'm saying he needs to let the reins off a little bit. You know, you've got a lot of speed in Stankoven. He's shown you the amount of speed you've got. And then you've got Maverick, and you know he's got some speed.
He has scoring ability, too.
Yes, he does. So.
And you've got the likelihood of one of, if not both of, Foxa or Marchment being out for a little while.
Yeah, I saw that. That was kind of, Foxa not so much, but Marchment, I was kind of like, oh, no.
I mean, Foxa's the workhorse of the fourth line. So
he is.
I mean, we need both. But now you got a chance for Maverick to slot in.
Yes, you do.
And we're talking, I mean, if you do mix up the Ben line and Johnston, what about Bork, Stankoven, and Johnston? All AHL line. Speed. Oh, imagine that line as your third or fourth line versus hence Pavelski, Robertson. You got a 1-2 punch there.
That's a very terrifying punch right there.
It is, and you've got the second and third line just kind of going, oh, yeah, there's them too.
Yeah.
But the first and the fourth line, or first and third line, if that's what it ends up being, is there somebody out there that has the, we'll call it fortitude, to take the right angles to put a puck behind Thompson? Because, to be honest with you, it hurts my heart to see Vegas invade the Stars' social media posts and say, oh, well, Logan Thompson's a god, and he's unbeatable, this, that, and the other. And it's just like, all you have to do is take the right angle and outrun where he's going to be, and it's behind him.
Well, I don't get involved in those message boards, but if I were involved in them, I would say no. Look at the record. I mean, he is beatable, so there's no such thing as unbeatable, especially in this league. We just got to find the right person and the right angle.
And some fortitude would be nice.
Yeah, that too.
And this is coming from a diehard Stars fan. Dude, I am a Cowboys fan too, but somehow they leapfrogged the Cowboys for my all-time favorites. Oh, y'all know how it happened. I'm not going to lie.
Hey, you got your running back.
No, oh, that's a story for another show and another day before I go off on a football rant. Unless BS3 wants me to do a football show, I'm all for that. yeah. How do we get the Stars back on track, though, tonight?
Well, I think, like you said, I think they need to come out aggressive. They need to go high with the puck. They need to, and I think they need to let their speed guys handle business.
Okay. Well, I mean, I hope that's what they do. I wish I was in the locker room. I really do. I love those guys so much. I would be one of those fans that are just like, come on, you can do it. You got this. Not just downplaying it like I am here, but God, I wish I could talk to them. Light a fire under their butt like nothing, like no other.
These are the points and times where you need your veterans to come in, be the leaders that they are, but also know that they need to lean on these young guys, and they need to tell these young guys, make them understand how crucial and how important they are. You know, don't just say it. I mean, make them understand, you know, you guys are a key factor in this, and, you know, let the Wyatt Johnsons and the Stankovens and the Mavericks know, hey, you guys are our future. But if you guys want to make a name for yourselves, now is when you got to make a name for yourselves. I mean, you look at Gretzky. Gretzky didn't wait till his fourth or fifth season to finally start coming into his own. I mean, he came in and, you know, he was on fire from the get-go. I mean,
he said the league was his from day one.
Pretty much. Yeah. He came in. He was like, nope. You know, I'm, you know, kind of like Jordan. I mean, you know, honest and truly, us as a generation, I don't think we realize how lucky we were for some of the athletes that we had to watch growing up. You know, we had Walter Payton. We had Barry Sanders. We had Mike Tyson. We had Michael Jordan. We had Wayne Gretzky. We had Dale Earnhardt Sr. We had, I mean, you can go down a list of GOATs for any sport, and a lot of them were from our generation.
Oh, yeah. And those guys would put the whole teams,
on their
organizations,
back.
Whatever. Yeah, on their back.
So.
And it was either with or without the veterans' blessing. Like, they just came in and said, all right, it's mine. Yeah. All of them.
I mean, you know, I mean, that it's just, you know, you really want to talk about a story. I mean, look at Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady was a nobody. Mm-hmm. He was, what, a seventh round draft pick. You know, who would have ever gave Tom Brady a chance of doing anything? And like him, don't like him, like the Patriots, don't like the Patriots. It doesn't matter. He dominated, period, point blank. Now, I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but I'll tell you right now, he was a dominant player. And you're not going to change my mind. No Deflategate, no none of that BS. None of that's going to change my mind because I've played the game. I know what goes on behind the scenes. I know every coach in every league, no matter if they're the head coach or if they're the equipment guy, always will try to find some way to give their players a slight, small advantage. It's just that whenever it's caught, it's put a microscope on. And you're not going to make me believe that taking a little bit of air out of a ball is going to affect the outcome of a game. It's not. I mean, we're not talking about stick 'em on, you know, gloves, which if you look at the gloves that a lot of the receivers wear these days, it's almost like stick 'em. I mean, some of these catches these receivers are making, if they didn't have gloves on, they wouldn't be making them catches. But that's not frowned upon. But, you know, a couple pounds here or there because maybe the equipment guy messed up or who knows what. Or maybe Brady did ask him to do it because it just helped him grip the ball a little bit better. Proof in the pudding was he won the Super Bowl again and they had a microscope on him and they checked his ball, the balls that he was, you know, using in the games in every single game and never found a flaw. And yet he still went in and won another Super Bowl. So, yeah. And went to another team and took that team to a Super Bowl. So, yeah, no. You're not going to make me believe anything that, you know, he cheated or Belichick cheated. And, you know, trying to get the other team's, you know, playbook or whatever, or trying to learn the other team's plays. Every team does that. I'm sorry. I've been in many of game planning strategy locker room discussions, and I'm telling you, I've watched film. Yeah, so.
Isn't that the whole point of game film?
It is. And I never kind of understood the whole issue with them being out there recording the team while they're practicing. Well, hey, it is what it is. Get your team security a little bit better and you won't have that to worry about. But that's just the way I am. I don't see that as cheating. I see that as looking for an advantage. It's not cheating. You're not out there like breaking people's legs, intentionally hurting somebody, or paying off referees or anything like that. You're just trying to get a competitive edge. It's just like fighters will hire statisticians to watch their opponents so they can figure out when they move to the left, which way, if their right foot goes forward, 75% of the time they're coming with a left cross, and stuff like that. Those are analytical. Those are finding ways to learn your opponent better. It's no different. It's no different. So, yeah. And it's funny, the ones that always complain about and say, "Oh, that's cheating. That's this and that," are 9 times out of 10 are people that have never really played a sport. And yeah, and they're probably just not fans of the sport that they're actually, talking about. But anyway, I'm gonna say the Stars win tonight. I'm just gonna go that route, just because I'm hoping to osmosis it. If I will it, it'll happen. I'm gonna sleep on my pillow with the book underneath it, and hopefully that the knowledge just gets in my head. So I'm hoping just by me saying that the Stars are gonna win, it's gonna happen. So I'm gonna go. I'm not gonna say a score because I don't want to jinx nothing or nothing like that. I'm just gonna flat out say I think the Stars win tonight.
I think they'll win tonight under three conditions: patience, puck aggression, and maybe a little bit of desperation at the same time. I think that's how you beat Vegas. I don't think Vegas cheats. I think Vegas is willing to outwork them. And
And hey, Stars fans, why don't we all just come together, get a pool going? We all put all of our money together, and then we just find a referee and we just give him that money and say, "Hey, if you could just throw the Stars away." No, I'm just kidding.
No, we're not going to condone cheating.
Was a joke. That was a joke. I'm trying to make light of the whole people that think that the refs are causing games and whatnot thing. So, but anyway. On that note, we'll see what the Stars can do tonight, and hopefully they pull it out.
Yeah, I agree. I hope so. If not, well, it was a great season while it lasted, almost number one in the whole NHL. A lot to build off of. And on that note, what do you say we close it out here, dude?
Sounds like a plan to me. Go Stars.
Go Stars. Hey, thank you for your time, man. I always love talking with you.
Always a pleasure.
All right. Well, I will talk to you tonight during, well, maybe tomorrow or tonight, one or the other. Have a good
All right. Take it
one.
easy.
You too. Bye.